Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 7, What Prahlad Learned in the Womb, Text Number 16. Tatu kalasya dirgatvat street dvan matus tirodade rishi nagnu grihai tamam madunap yaja hat smriti. Tat, that, instruction on religion and knowledge. To, indeed, kalasya, of time, dirgadvat, because of the longness, stritvat, because of being a woman, Matu, of my mother, Tarodade, disappeared. Rishina, by the sage, Anugrihitam, being blessed, Mam, me, Na, not, Aduna, today. Api, even. Ajahat, left. Smriti, the memory of Narada Muni's instructions. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Because of the long duration of time that has passed, and because of her being a woman, and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all those instructions, but the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Purport. In Bhagavad Gita 9.32, the Lord says, Mam hi partha vyapashitya yepi su papayonaya striyo vaishas tata sudras tepi yanti paramgitim. O son of Pritha, those who take shelter in me, though they be of low birth, women, vaishyas, merchants, or shudras, workers, can approach the supreme destination. The word papayoni refers to those who are less than shudras. But even though a woman may not be papayoni, because of being less intelligent, she sometimes forgets devotional instructions. For those who are strong enough, however, there is no question of forgetting. Women are generally attached to material enjoyment. Because of this tendency, they sometimes forget devotional instructions. But even if a woman practices devotional service strictly, according to the rules and regulations, the statement by the Lord Himself that she can turn home to Godhead, tepi yanti param gatim, is not at all astonishing. One must take shelter of the Lord and rigidly follow the rules and regulations. Then, regardless of what one is, one will return home back to Godhead. Prahlad Maharaj's mother was more concerned with protecting the child in the womb and was very anxious to see her husband return. Therefore, she could not consider very seriously the sublime instructions of Narada Muni. Tattu kalasya dirgatvat Stritvan Matus Tarodade Rishina Nugrihitamam Nandunap Yajahat Smriti. Because of the long duration of time has passed, and because of her being a woman and therefore less intelligent, my mother has forgotten all these instructions. But the great sage Narada blessed me, and therefore I could not forget them. Prahlad Maharaj remembered the instructions given by Narada Muni because, first of all, as I said the other day, he had nothing else to do. Therefore, he could pay full attention. And there was no question of any other thoughts because there's nothing else to think about. On the other hand, Prahlad Maharaj's mother was preoccupied, first of all, for the safety of her child, and second, the return of her husband. And therefore, she didn't pay the same kind of attention to Narada Muni's instructions as Prahlad did. Now, here it mentions that ladies are less intelligent, which is always a controversial point, sometimes for the ladies. But we have to understand what intelligence means here. It is not that the ladies necessarily don't have equal or more material intelligence, but that's not considered intelligence according to the Vedic literature. In other words, intelligence in order to enjoy the material world is not considered spiritual intelligence, at least. Every living entity in the material world and 8,400,000 species of life has a certain type of intelligence. Just like a woman will have more intelligence how to take care of the family than a man will. Or sometimes a woman may have more intelligence in order to get what she wants, because Krishna gives intelligence according to one's desire. So when we get a particular body, it doesn't really matter if we get the body of a dog or a vulture or a mouse, we get a certain type of intelligence along with it that goes with the body. Otherwise it wouldn't work. If you had the intelligence of a vulture and you were in a mouse's body, it would be very uncomfortable. You kept on flapping your little paws in order to get, you know, so you can find some mouse, but you are a mouse. So Krishna gives the same, exactly the type of intelligence necessary in the 8,400,000 species of life in order to at least survive in the material world. In order to see 2 miles down a dead body, you need a certain kind of intelligence. First of all, you have to have the eyes to see, but then you need a certain amount of intelligence to be able to utilize those eyes so you can see the dead body. Similarly, to be able to smell cheese a mile away, like a mouse can, you need a kind of body that does that, but you also need the intelligence to do it. Otherwise, if you were a defective mouse, you may have a perfect mouse body, but you can't smell the cheese. So similarly, in human form of life, when we take birth, everyone takes birth in a certain body and is given a certain kind of intelligence to fulfill one's desires. Now, those who take birth as women cannot have the same desires as those who take birth as men. It wouldn't work out. You couldn't have a material world if that was true. Someone has to take care of the children. If no one's taking care of the children, then the universe wouldn't last very long. You need children to grow up to have a universe. So when one takes birth of a woman as a woman, for whatever reason, then one gets the intelligence of a woman, how to take care of children, how to maintain the household. Now, if it was left up to the man to do that, it wouldn't work out very well. Men don't really have so much intelligence like that. And if it was left up, if the man didn't have the intelligence, how to get the resources necessary to maintain the house, then there wouldn't be a house. Of course, nowadays, everything's mixed up because people are so mixed up. They think getting resources is the whole point. So you can have a whole bunch of resources, but if you don't utilize them properly, they're useless. Because like I mentioned, Trivika Maharaj was glorifying John Lennon, how wealthy he was. They were living at Tittenhurst in the estate of John Lennon, and at that time John Lennon was worth around 300 million pounds, which were a lot heavier back then. But Prabhupada said, what is the use of all his money? He doesn't know how to utilize it. If you have a lot of money, you have a nice house, nice garden, nice water, nice atmosphere, nice food, nice relationships, then it's worthwhile. Then your money, your resources are put forward. So if men are just collecting resources and women are just collecting resources, it's just a waste of time. People, everyone's unhappy. They're unhappy, the children are unhappy, or the children are just animals on the street. The parents get divorced, and everything's a mess. There's no affection, there's no love, there's no relationship. There's just collecting resources. There's a bumper sticker in America they used to have. It says, whoever get the most toys at the end of life, they win. But it's the whole idea, as we can see in the Veda culture, just like in the old movies in India, we find that they're very slow compared to modern movies. No one's killing each other. If you ever see something like Sita's Wedding. Did you ever see Sita's Wedding? Really? It's one of the nicest movies I ever made. Did you ever see it? No. Boy, you're really missing something. It's one of the nicest Indian movies they ever made. It's all about Lord Ramachandra, of course, and Sita. But it's all full of dancing and singing and colorful. And the main thing is all relationships. Affection, love, or whatever drama. It's all relationships. So they don't have to have all this violence and, you know, explosions. Because they're actually into something that actually touches people's hearts rather than just excites them. People just want to be excited. They're so dull. They're in the mode of ignorance. Their senses are so dull. They need, you know, they have to hear an explosion in their mind. Oh, what happened? Where am I? You're in the movie theater. Anyone dead? Check my arm. Oh, my two arms still there. Not bad. Whoa, bang! Oh my God, what happened? That's the movie. Oh my God. It woke me up. I'm trying to sleep in this movie theater. He's not waking me up. So people are so dull, they need all this so-called excitement, stimulation. But in the Vedic culture, in actual culture, then people actually want relationships. They want the mood of love and affection and care and attention, whatever else. Because even if there's some passion there, there's still, there's some goodness also, some understanding what life is about. If we go to the spiritual world, don't expect, you know, there's all these exciting things go on. You go there, bang, bang. Where am I? You're in the spiritual world. Wow, it's really exciting here. No, Krishna gets up in the morning and he sounds his bugle and everyone else gets up and runs out to go with Krishna. Where? To the forest. People go, what are they doing in the forest? Why don't they go to the movies or a sports game or something? What, forest, my God. And what are they doing? They're herding cows. Oh, at least they're doing, maybe they have, you know, a McDonald's there. They're doing something. There's no McDonald's, there's no fast food. My God, what are they herding cows for? Oh my God, don't tell me they're vegans there. So people can't understand what relationships are, but that's all there is going on. Whether Krishna is relating to the cows, whether Krishna is relating to Mother Jasoda or Nanda Maharaj or the gopis, or even the flowers and the trees and the deer in the forest, it's all loving relationships and exchanges. And all, so people don't, they think collecting goods is collecting things, that's intelligent. But actually, real intelligence is how to begins with forming spiritual relationships with people. Now, ladies, because of their natural tendency to want to protect the children or the family, whatever else, you know, are very concerned about collecting material things in order to provide security. And men are have to go out and work, but they're not really attached to it. They just, so much the work and collecting things, they just also, they're interested in, oh, of course, they're naturally inclined to do that because they don't want to take care of the kids. They don't want to, oh, goo, 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 my God, what is this? They don't feel attraction for such things. So they rather go out and work and bring the money and let the lady take care of the kids. Diapers, my God, what is this? But for a lady who's in the material world, and actually, it's naturally that they have that feeling. There are feelings, there are naturally much more feeling, but that feeling may be directed towards material energy. And therefore, if they had to change diapers, it's not a big thing for them. Usually, I mean, women in normal culture, because nowadays, no one's normal. Sometimes the men want to change the diapers, and the women, oh, get away. I don't want to. So it's all upside down nowadays. But as Prabhupada writes here, if one can somehow or another in the course of time become aware of the fact that the material world is not our place, permanent place, and therefore try to fix the mind upon spiritual relationships, devotional service to Krishna and to his devotees, then gradually one's spiritual intelligence will be awakened. And although one may have the same proclivity, taking care of children in the house, whatever, but one will do that to please Krishna rather than just out of one's own material sentiments. Similarly, men have to learn how to collect things, not for their own false ego and aggrandizement that they're the lords and the controller and the savior, the maintainer of their family, but they're simply a servant also of Krishna. And on behalf of Krishna, they serve their family. And therefore, spiritual intelligence can be awakened and the whatever one's material body is. But in Kali Yuga, it's very hard for anyone to awaken their spiritual intelligence. As it says here, women papa yonaya striyo vaishistata sudras. So it also says, janmana jayate shudra, that by birth everyone is born shudra. So it's not that the men were born Brahmins, they came out as, you know, Shukadeva Goswamis out of the womb, fully self-realized, Brahman-realized, and walked away. No, janmana jayate shudra, kalo shudra sambhava. By birth everyone was born a shudra, and it is supposed to be samskara bhavat dvija. And by samskara, one becomes twice born. Twice born doesn't mean you become a Brahmin. Twice born means you get become eligible to become a Vaishya. Beginning to become a Vaishya, that's what you're born into. Of course, you may be twice born and be trained up as a Brahmin too, depending on your qualification. But twice born means you have some conception that there's something beyond just eating, sleeping, mating, and defending. There is some culture. But nowadays, people don't have samskar. Prabhupada said there's samskar. Previously, there used to be, the lady would be in the house, in a certain part of the house, and then they'd throw kadi, this sugar candy, in a certain time when they come out, and there'd be this karana of writing letters, and there is no such thing. These Prabhupada said there's samskar. So the baby is born, and they slap the kid. Slap the kid as hard as they can so he starts crying. And then they bathe him in alcohol to purify him. And that's the samskar. So we can't expect the men are necessarily, by birth or by education, are any more intelligent than the women are nowadays. Matter of fact, the men, because of lack of proper direction, many times have become less intelligent. they engage in sense gratification even more than the women do. Without, because women, generally speaking, if they're half sane, they want a family. They want children, they want some security. And then they may not want it, sometimes they do, and sometimes they may not want, so they may be completely frivolous and uncontrolled and become more degraded, the most degraded. So it's not in Kali Yuga that there's a competition actually between the men and women, who's going to become more degraded first, who's going to get a permanent residence in Yamaloka. So the purport is that ultimately we have to consider that without devotional service, especially in Kali Yuga, because there is no culture, people have no safety net. Either they take to Krishna consciousness for now, or they'll go to the darkest regions of existence, no matter who they are, men or women. So that all the, it's not that in Kali Yuga all the men are going to heaven and the women are going to hell. No, they're hand in hand going to hell together. Yamaraj is, when he brings the Yamadutas, it's co-educational. Yamaloka nowadays is co-educational. But on the other hand, if people take shelter of Krishna and try to understand the philosophy, and even in household life, if they actually follow the principles, as Prabhupada says, not that now we're householders and we have another 30 years of sense gratification, and then after that, if the Hare Krishna movement's still around, we'll go back to it. We'll make sure it's still around. Once every Janmasthami, we'll come and say hello to the deities. Make sure that they're still there. Let them know we're always thinking of them. No, if one gets married, then morning and evening, the husband and wife, Prabhupada writes, should sit down morning and evening, chant Hare Krishna together, hear Srimad Bhagavatam, Bhagavad Gita, worship the deities. And that way, the household life will become spiritual. The children will become, hopefully, if there's a gurukul, they can get spiritual education from the beginning of life. And the men and the husband and wife, they'll treat each other as Krishna's devotees rather than as objects of sense gratification. And the result is that there'll be spiritual advancement for both of them. Although it says that the men can understand the scriptures better, but the scriptures tell us to develop the sentiments of devotion, which women are more able to achieve because of their natural tendency towards feeling. So if the men are intelligent enough to direct the women's feelings towards devotion, then they'll become devotional also. They'll both benefit. And if the men aren't intelligent enough and they direct the women's feelings towards sense gratification, then they'll both go to hell. So it's a question of men using their intelligence so they can properly guide the women towards devotion, and then both of them will become eligible eventually to go to the spiritual world. So I'll stop there. Any questions or comments? Well, it's good that talk about this. Usually this is a very delicate subject matter. If there's no questions, it's probably good. Thank you very much. Krandaraj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.